You're listening to Spice Radio, 1200 AMs, The Morning Buzz with Mankiran Aujla. And our Hands Against Racism campaign is on, where we have conversations about racism in our society. And I want to talk about a fascinating podcast called Don't Call Me Resilient, a podcast about race and racism. And it basically explores news from an anti-racist lens. It's really fascinating. So we're going to be now speaking to Atika Kaki, associate producer of the podcast Don't Call Me Resilient. Atika, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I kind of gave a little bit of a brief explanation, but what exactly is Don't Call Me Resilient all about?
Don't Call Me Resilient is a weekly podcast where we are looking at news and current events through a critical race lens. And I mean, basically what that means is we're really thinking about it through the perspective of how is this impacting racialized communities or otherwise marginalized communities, and how can we really put those voices and stories at the center of our reporting? And, you know, so looking at these like breaking news, current event type of things, but centering that voice and perspective.
And I think that's what fascinates me about this podcast is you look at these really big topics and news stories or whatever everybody is talking about through an anti-racist lens. And how does that change the story you find in sort of doing this work when you look at it through that lens?
Yeah. So, I mean, another thing I should mention about our podcast is that our guests are usually always academics or scholars who are working in the field. That's part of the mandate of The Conversation, which is the news media organization that produces our podcast. And so we are talking to folks who are very well sort of versed experts in their respective studies, field of study. And again, often they are doing research that is looking at how racism intersects with some of these bigger themes. So whether it's a viewpoint from international law or sociology, you know, and often their research is kind of centered in looking at those trends with, again, an eye on how is this impacting racialized groups.
And do you find, you know, this is now season 7, which is amazing. Yeah. Happy for you guys. Are we more comfortable as a society, you know, having these conversations about racism?
I mean, that's interesting. So, you know, the podcast started, I believe it actually was in 2020. And so it was in the midst of a very different moment in time. And one of the big things, of course, that was happening during that time was the death of George Floyd, and then the subsequent organizing effort and birth of Black Lives Matter movement. And so I think what's interesting is that was really a defining moment of our current time period, you know, and I think that it really it creates a moment in time that everyone can sort of relate to in some way or another. And I think at that time, you know, we did see a lot of speaking out about it, perhaps, you know, allyship or, you know, I would question perhaps performative allyship. It was also a time when there wasn't a lot of other things going on in the world. So we were all sort of captivated in part of the conversation. And so I bring this up because we often use that as a reference point of like, now we're, you know, 3 or 4 years past that point. And so I think there is an awareness, which is amazing. But what does that really mean in terms of how people are doing work in their daily lives or how they are moving in the world differently or thinking about things like white privilege and how and white supremacy and how that is a part of their lives or a part of the structures and frameworks and systems that we're all sort of a part of and in some ways, you know, also responsible for upholding.
And one word you said there, which is a word that I always hear from a lot of folks doing a lot of anti-racist work, is like, what does it mean to be an ally, truly an authentic ally? And is that something that you guys kind of continue to explore?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's not something that we're like sitting around thinking about, like, how do we be an ally? But when I think about, you know, what that means, especially when it comes to, you know, like in our case, telling the story that isn't necessarily our story to tell, right? We are outsiders to it. And so I think that's really the first part of it is really understanding our own positionality within that landscape, you know, so who are we? And like almost having some humility around that, not supposing that we know best. And just because we're speaking to academic experts or we've done the research, you know, we know what the situation looks like. And so again, really allowing that voice, that experience, and also those recommendations from people who are directly impacted by the issues that we're talking about to lead the way in terms of, you know, how do we create real change? How do we have meaningful conversations that go somewhere? You know, we do try to, as much as possible, like include that glimmer of hope. And often it is a glimmer, but I think part of allyship is really ensuring that, again, you know, we're centering the people who are most impacted by those crises when we're looking at what those solutions are. I'm thinking of things like, you know, climate change, for example, or one of the things that we often talk about is like the lingering effects of living in a colonial state, settler colonial state, even in Canada, right? So what does that mean in terms of like Indigenous communities? Yeah, really centering the voices and perspectives and recommendations of those who are most impacted.
And that's what I really find fascinating about the podcast, too, because you guys explore such fascinating topics, whether it's, you know, tackling stereotypes, the model minority, critical race theory, the unfairness around the climate crisis, decolonizing journalism. And even I love the episode about just comedy, like what is so funny about race in particular stands out to me. But the one episode that I want to kind of talk to you a little bit more about, because it just came out and it really opened up my mind, was the talking about the 9 years after the hashtag Oscars so white and what has really changed. And when I kind of went into this episode, I kind of thought like, okay, maybe I know what's going to be talked about here. But to me, it was such an eye-opening episode because we'd like to think that things have changed. But I think the part of the episode that stood out to me is like, who is responsible for making that change? Can you tell folks about this episode?
Yeah, the jumping off point for this episode was some comments that Taraji P. Henson made. Of course, you know, when we look at Hollywood, she seems like one of the people who's made it, you know, and even when it comes to representation in the industry, to see like a strong woman of color in these kind of lead roles feels like we could say like, this is a win. This is something to celebrate. Like, look how far Hollywood has come. But she was speaking about tearfully and emotionally about the pay gap and also just still, I think, some of the realities of being, you know, a woman of color in that industry. And so, you know, especially looking at the Oscars, like this year in particular, you know, we saw obviously a lot of headlines about how many women of color were nominated, an Indigenous actor, I think, for like one of the lead categories. But, you know, really questioning what does that, you know, like we're saying this is progress, but what does that mean? Let's unpack that a little bit. And again, you know, the guests who we spoke to were both involved in the entertainment industry, in television in Canada, in researching it, studying it, studying pop culture and film and television entertainment. And so, you know, they are on the ground working with folks who make up these communities. And so it's not just the, you know, the headline story of the sort of like glamorized headline version of it, but it's, you know, peeling the layers back and saying, okay, so it's great that X number of people were nominated or we have this many like women of color nominated in different categories. Well, what does their experience actually look like? Right. And then what does the experience look like of so many other people who make up this complex industry that we all engage with in different ways?
And I want to talk about, though, I know not all the episodes are out because this was just the first one of season 7, but what will season 7 be exploring? Can you give us a bit of a teaser?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so we do try to sort of keep our stories current. And so we're always looking at current headlines and what's happening. Because we are a Canadian podcast, we're thinking about it, you know, what issues are top of mind for Canadians. So sometimes that's things that are happening with, you know, inside Canada. But of course, especially in the climate that we're in right now, we're also thinking about things that are happening outside of Canada. So our episode that's coming out today is probably actually online already, is about the use of famine and forced starvation in Gaza. And we talked to the former UN Special Rapporteur on the right to food, Hilal Alver, about basically the really hard reality of what's happening right now in Gaza and the fact that experts say that this is the worst famine, you know, case of hunger, forced starvation that we've seen since World War II, happening at an incredible rate and to sort of an unbelievable degree. And regardless of what happens at this current moment, the impact of that, you know, a lot of damage has already been done, which is going to continue to unfold over generations, not only for the people who are directly impacted, but their children and their children and so on, as well as the rebuilding of that society, that community, those communities. So it's a heavy, obviously, topic, but very important. And then next week, we are actually doing another episode on the use of forced starvation. But this time, we're going to be speaking to two Canadian scholars, one who has looked at the use of forced starvation in Canada, specifically by John A. Macdonald, Canada's first prime minister, against Indigenous populations, and also a scholar who has looked at the use of famine in Bengal in the 1943 Bengal famine under British colonialism. So really what we're trying to do is to make connections and to say that there is this atrocious thing that is happening right now that we're all witnessing, the use of forced starvation as a tool of war. But this is not a new phenomenon, unfortunately, and there is a playbook that we've seen play out time and time before in some contexts that are very close to home, literally, and, you know, other contexts that are very important in terms of each of our role as a person who exists, you know, in the world and who is related to these structures and systems and colonialism that we, I guess, we're sort of individually reckoning with, but also reckoning with as a society.
And if people want to listen to these episodes, where can they go?
Yeah. Okay. So you can find and listen to Don't Call Me Resilient wherever you get your podcasts. And you can also check us out at don'tcallmeresilient.com or through the Conversation Canada's website. Yeah. And again, it's Don't Call Me Resilient.
Athika, appreciate your time. Thank you so much. You take care.
Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you.
We just spoke to Athika Kaki. She's the associate producer of the podcast Don't Call Me Resilient. It's a podcast about race and racism. And if you've ever struggled with how to understand what is going on around you when it comes to race and racism and why it matters, this is worth checking out. This is The Morning Buzz on Spice Radio 1200 AM.